And welcome to A Noise from the Deep, the Green Leaf Music Podcast.
That's right. Today we're talking with Ingrid Lobrock, and she is a saxophonist and composer.
Yes, great saxophone player.
And we were just hearing her in a duo with the drummer Tom Rainey. Mm-hmm. So we'll be talking to her, and we hope that you are getting these episodes and the earlier episodes at iTunes or at Greenleaf Music or wherever it is that you get your podcasts.
Yeah, please leave a rating and review. It lets people know where we are and what we're doing. And we'd love to hear from you. And it's podcast@greenleafmusic.com.
So let's get to the music. Ingrid, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Great to have you here.
We were just hearing that record. It's a duo with Tom Rainey. Mm-hmm. So you were saying it is live, or?
No, it's not live. It's like, I think we recorded it at Brooklyn Recordings.
It's all overdubbed. You did it to Click Track, and punched in all your...
It's all hyper-edited.
Very precisely done.
No, but I mean, the studio is on our block, and like we play together in our apartment, and for years we've just been sort of joking, like, Andy, did you get that? Andy is the guy who owns the studio. So then one day we decided to actually go for it because we've been playing together so much.
It was a long, load in process.
Yeah, it was great.
Walk down the block.
All the pieces are improvised. We just basically, it was a fairly short session. We just went in there for maybe 3-4 hours. And
is there any dialogue before a piece? Like, okay, so we just did a slow one, so let's
do
a fast one. No,
we don't do that. We might do that in other things, but not with this particular thing. That's kind of the fun we have with this, It's like trying to find, figure out how to deal with this composition. I find like in a duo context, it's easy and it's hard. Like the easy thing is that you really only have that one person to deal with, and to make you don't have to generate or react to that many people, and there will always be a certain like transparency, I think. Mm-hmm. But
so it's easy to find who to blame when things aren't going right, and only have one person to point at.
It's always me, actually. but also like of course if you do it. If it's drums and saxophone, it's also hard work. You have to be on it all the time.
Well, you're exposed.
You're exposed, and you have to be. You have to. It takes energy. It takes energy to come up. You have to. I'm
Do you feel like with a duo of saxophone and drums, there's like the historical baggage that you're carrying? I mean, there's been a lot of great tenor saxophone and drum duos over the year. Is that something you think about, or do you feel like you're sort of free of that?
You know, it's a funny question. I remember, like, you know, the Evolving Arts people, Patricia Parker, they do like a regular yearly interstellar space saxophone drum duo. The first time I did that, which was when I just arrived here, I think, or maybe I'd been here for like a few months or so, I was nervous about it because of the baggage. Because I thought, like, oh my God, you know, what do I have to kind of represent this? Magnificent kind of the power of interstellar space, and is this like supposed to, because it was supposed to be a celebration of it.
And she has a lot of other people there doing the same format.
Yeah. And then I listened to it and I was like, man, this is just so, you know, this is the worst thing you could do is try and go there. You know what I mean? Because it's,
I guess that's that what I was asking. Them.
But that is them, and that is that time, and that is their power, you know. So, you can't do it. It's like you can't spend your life trying to imitate another musician. You can't do it. You know, you have to find your
own. Right, but still, like, I hear this duo of you and Tom, and I hear references to a lot of different things, and so there must be.
Sure, but that's in our makeup. I mean, that's in our,
in the DNA, you know, of just
that's what we've been listening to.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
I mean, I'm definitely also not consciously avoiding it. You know, I mean, and especially in this situation, I just want to go, and I just want to explore and find while I do it. Spent a lot of time working on sound, like on copying people's sound.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe around 2000 or like around, quite a while ago. Like, I transcribed a lot, but you know, like really, really tried to emulate other people's sounds.
Any names you want to share?
I think, on the soprano, Steve Lacy, and on tenor, Coltrane. Wayne Shorter.
Is that Bill Coltrane? Oh, no.
Billy.
That would be his grandson.
John Coltrane.
And Dexter Gordon, Sonny Rollins.
Wow.
But that was then, you know, but I really, like, tried to, like, that was always my, like, I transcribed trying to really get into that sound and figure out what to do to create different sounds, you know, and from then, I obviously tried to, like, start figuring out what do I do to express what I want to express,
right.
You know.
Right.
But it comes from studying other people's sound, and also I have to say, like, I think at that time that there's a book by Dave Liebman, How to Develop a Personal Saxophone Sound.
Oh wow.
Which is actually great.
Yeah.
It really is great. Like, he talks, you know, he's so detailed, and he talks a lot about like larynx and breathing and what affects what, and I just did a lot of, you know, overtones and a lot of kind of trying to figure out what affects what, basically. But then, yeah.
Okay, so this is great.
The cat's
because
owner.
This is real life. This is how we do things at the podcast.
There's
the cat.
Yeah.
What's the cat's name?
This is Levi.
Levi.
Oops. Okay, that's like animals here.
Yeah.
We're recording this one at Michael Bates's palace.
And my
a cat.
And my new cat.
It's cool. That's so we have the spirit of Tom Rainey in the background knocking things.
nothing yet.
Segue into how that affects what you're writing, because you're doing a lot of composition.
Yeah.
More and more, would you say, or is that something that always went hand in hand with the playing?
It always went hand in hand, but there was a time, like I think there was at least a year where I almost only improvised, and then it just came back, and then it came back with a sort of with a vengeance.
With a vengeance, yeah. So talk about this orchestra piece that you wrote,
right,
if you would.
Well, it came about doing this course that George Lewis put together, the JCOI, which is Jazz Composers Orchestra Institute or something like that. It's like basically a chance for jazz composers to write, compose. Mm-hmm. You know, several of our friends have done it, and you get like, you basically, if you get chosen out of a bunch of people, you have a chance to write a piece, and it gets read by the ACO, the American Composers Orchestra.
Great.
So I did that.
And that's what this recording is? And
no, the recording is like a revised version.
I see.
Which was a great opportunity because, you know, the reading is like, they literally have like 20 minutes of rehearsal and then the next day 20 minutes of reading.
Right.
Of a piece that you've been working on maybe 6 months.
You know? Right.
So
you don't want to take a phone call during those 20 minutes.
It was intense. It was really intense. It was the classical world. I'd never been part of it.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a really fantastic experience. But when the Tricentric people and Anthony Braxton asked me to revise it for their orchestra, mm-hmm, I knew I could also incorporate improvisation, and
right,
I knew I could incorporate a choir, and I could make use of the space. I knew it was going to be a little bit more organic.
Was that something that George Lewis encouraged you to bring into it?
Oh,
would you say?
I'm sure he would have, but he knew that the ACO, that wasn't their thing.
So the workshop with George was more, let's get this piece.
The workshop, yeah, there were several. There were like a bunch of different composers. Mm-hmm. It was out in LA, actually, when
mm-hmm
I went to LA.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them have incorporated improvisation into their pieces. So it was, it's a little bit of an exchange. There were also classical composers there who were open to improvisation. But we knew that the orchestra as a whole isn't. You know,
mm-hmm,
they might be open to jazz influences or something, but they're not improvisers. Whereas the Tricentric, the musicians in that orchestra are both. You know,
that piece is stunning.
Oh,
it is really, really beautiful.
Oh.
intentionally notated?
Yes.
For the whole thing?
Not the whole thing. There's like a, I guess like the first 2 to 3 minutes are notated, but open to some improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like their zones.
Right.
And,
okay.
And you know, so the singers are like walking around. I'm just saying to them like, okay, just do sparse sounds. So simple instructions.
Ah, right. And then the voice comes in,
the
choir comes in, and it's that.
Yeah, no, I mean, basically, like, there's, like, one or two pages of the score that are open. Then
mm-hmm.
a really big bulk is notated. And then there is a section where amplified contrabass, clarinet, and amplified trumpet come in, but, like,
mm-hmm.
it's more like a feedback kind of
right.
Amplified trumpet, contrabass, clarinet. From then on, it opens up, or, like, a minute after that, it opens up to improvisation. Which is about a minute long, and then it goes back into notated stuff.
Now, did you play in it?
No. I didn't make that mistake, you know.
What,
like,
what,
I don't
want to
write
myself.
Well, because I felt like, I was thinking about it when
mm-hmm.
When I wrote for the ACO, and they discouraged it. Like, George Lewis, actually all those guys said, like, don't write yourself into your own orchestra piece. And I totally understand it. Because,
what was the reasoning?
Well, because I feel like if you write it, I don't think I could MD it and play it at the same time.
I
don't
see.
Think I could be the, you know, the, it was so fast, the interaction between the conductor and me. Everything was so, the time
so
constraint.
Who was the conductor?
Crazy.
Was it
Stephen? No, it was Oliver Hagen.
Do you write in a notebook first before putting it into Sibelius, the application
I do.
Program?
Yeah, I do. I write at the
it sounds
mostly
that way.
At the piano, a lot in my head. Like mm-hmm. a lot of, if it's a, like in this case, I think like the whole texture and the whole kind of piece in my head, the
yeah.
idea of it, and then filling it out on the piano and then.
That you shared with us from New Jazz Meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you write that? Would you say that's the same way, or was the process really different for you? Now this is more like an octet.
It's octet, yeah.
Of improvisers.
Yeah.
Great players.
Yeah, really, really great players.
Tom Arthur's in there on trumpet.
Do you know him?
I do.
Sure,
yeah,
you know him.
Great.
He went to Banff. Right?
I know.
He did.
So, yeah. He's a really old friend of mine. Like, I guess I knew him. Since he's like 9, we've been playing together since he's 19.
So wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
And while we're at it,
what is he? He's now
awesome.
He's 22.
Well, he's always 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
I see. Right, so 23.
He will always be 10 years younger than me. Bad.
What is the title of the piece?
That,
what does it mean?
Der Zauberberg?
Yeah.
Der Zauberberg is actually a novel by Thomas Mann, the German.
Okay.
Poet, writer.
Is that Magic Mountain?
Magic Mountain.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, of course.
No,
yeah,
I should have known.
Mountain.
The Zauberflaute, the Magic Mountain.
Yes.
Of course.
I'm allowed to say German titles without being pretentious.
That's great. Well, what does Vogelfrei mean?
Vogelfrei means...
Because I was thinking free bird.
No, it's not, actually. It's outcast. Oh. Outlaw. It's like a medieval term. It's just so weird because I never have German titles, but both of these are German titles, right? The Magic Mountain Zauberberg is because we recorded this in the SWR studios in Germany.
Right.
And it's basically, the studios are, it's this like big complex on a hill in Baden-Baden.
Right.
And we were there for a week and we just couldn't get out of this thing. We were like trapped into this on this mountain. The hotel was there, everything was there. And
the
SWR employees nicknamed it the Magic Mountain.
I see.
It's like it's nothing more magic than that.
It's great though that the SWR Southwest German Radio is producing these new jazz meetings. They've been doing it for years.
It's great. It's really
years.
Have you done it?
I did years ago with, and it's how I met Louis Sklavis and Michel Godard and Rabia Abu Khalil, and you know, it was a really great experience.
So did you do that in Baden-Baden?
Yes.
On the Magic Mountain?
Yeah, but I guess maybe they said Zauberberg and I just didn't speak any German. Didn't make the connection.
But it really is unique. I mean, it's great, and I'm glad that they're still doing it. It's like 30 years. Trying to think what to say about it, like in what the writing of it. I think I was like, so it's like two composed sections that are layered on top of each other. One of them is that kind of ostinato thing with the xylophone guitar and the cello, which is sort of a little loosely based on some Bata studies that I did. But just the idea of how things interlock is based on it. And the piano and accordion part are completely through composed. There's a tiny improvised bit at the beginning, but then they're completely through composed, but they're unrelated really, apart from that the time is the same. And the bass, this is so funny. Yeah.
We're going to have to do something. Can we let them out to let them outside? Yeah.
It's just this time of the morning. I just keep thinking this guy is on the end of like jumping in my head.
It's just this. I mean, how many of you have seen that?
Wow, I wish we could get that on film. We could go viral. That was amazing.
That's true, actually. Cute dog and cat videos.
Cute dog and cat videos.
Help the cause.
Yeah. Would you believe how this kitten and this puppy are friends? 10 things to be friendly about if you're a kitten.
But then there's three composed things, like the bass, trumpet, and accordion have these little pieces that don't sound that composed, and the rubato, actually, they're kind of rubato, but they're hanging together, so there's these little two compositions that just happen on top of these other layers. Mm-hmm.
That's on?
The record is called The Zurich Concert. This is all a live concert.
Oh, wow.
And because the Intact is a Swiss label, I kind of liked the Zurich gig, you know.
Yeah. And gives it an alpine quality.
Yeah. It's Zauberberg quality.
And then, you also, there's this live horn, you call it a winds group.
Yeah, I mean, woodwind, brass.
Except you have Tom Rainey in there.
I think I said winds and drums. I hope I said that.
Anyway, I loved hearing it. Some of my favorite players. And is that coming out soon?
No, we'll record that in September. Like, we're going to go on a tour. And this is like...
Can we play some of this live thing on the podcast?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the quality is a Zoom in my best, you know, so it's not a...
Sounds good.
But I'm excited about the group. Yeah. I've always wanted to do that. It's like a brass band gone wrong kind of thing. You
know? So it's tuba, trombone, alto, and tenor.
And
drums.
And drums. Yeah, I'm excited about that. It's
Thank you.
One of the other projects that you've done and released recently is Tom's record, Obligato.
The standards record.
Yeah, all standards. I wanted to ask you about that. That's a great record.
Oh, thanks. Oh, you saw your
Yeah, I own it. I bought
I'll
it.
Tell him.
And...
I'll be happy to hear.
You know, I mean, to a casual listener, they might not know they're all standards. They might think you're hinting at some here and there. But it really, like... You guys are keeping the forms.
Yeah, we're keeping the forms and we're keeping the harmony and the melody. I think we're keeping the melody in mind,
mm-hmm.
mostly.
Right.
Who else is playing here?
It's Drew Gress, Chris Davis, Tom, and Raffalesi and Ingrid.
Yeah.
Great.
Great record.
Well, it definitely wasn't a gimmicky thing. It's something we all love
mm-hmm.
and we all come from. And it's also, like, it's a... Next to doing a completely improvised gig,
mm-hmm.
it's probably the closest we come to not reading anything.
Right.
And
right,
being,
right.
you know, and having something so internalized that we can actually really, really elaborate on it,
mm-hmm.
if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like so there's no paper, there's no, and he gave like very, very few instructions. I mean, occasionally he would say like, okay, yeah, why don't you kick that off with Drew, or why don't Chris and... Ralph play the first improvisation, things like that.
Right.
But there was very little in terms of... there was a lot of freedom otherwise, except for keeping the form and keeping the time. Like so the pieces were counted in.
Okay.
And I love it because it's like very... It has like a really concise thing, but it still
mm-hmm.
feels very liquid and interactive. And
right.
there's a lot of listening...
We'll be right back.
Tom is an amazing musician. We should have him on the podcast.
Yeah.
Totally.
Do you think he would do it?
Sure. Of what? Sorry, Tom. I don't know. I mean, you have to ask him.
Well, it's been a delight having you. It's been great hearing about your music and hearing these pieces I didn't know. And you remember you subbed for Marcus Strickland on a Keystone gig several years ago, and it was so heroic. It was so great. It was so great.
Was like,
thank you again.
Something.
It was really fun.
No rehearsal. Boom.
It was amazing.
I remember you had the choice between John Butcher and me.
I didn't really look at it that way, but okay.
That was interesting.
Well, Ingrid, thank you so much for
being
here.
No, thank you. That was,
we appreciate
that was
it. Beautiful
fun.
Music.
That was our interview with Ingrid Laubrock.
Amazing
Laubrock.
Person.
I guess I should really practice my German because that was deficient in that interview.
I avoided all the German titles for song names.
And she was very kind with us in explaining.
And you know, apologies or thanks for your patience to all our listeners out there for tolerating my animals.
Yeah, your animals were noisy. We could do an entire podcast on that, right? We'll see if we can get a picture of them to post on the show page at greenleafmusic.com.
Yeah.
Leave us a note, send us an email. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Douglas.
Well, I'm Michael Bates, and we'll talk to you soon.